The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Let us pray. Holy One, be with us, draw near to us as we face the many evils of this world. Help us to learn from you to discern good from evil, and to trust that in the end, your love and your good will have the final victory. Amen. We hear another agricultural metaphor from Jesus this morning in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. In this parable, a householder sows seed in his field, but while he is sleeping, an enemy comes and sows weeds. And when the wheat started to grow, the weeds came up along with it. The slaves of the householder came to him and asked, "Why didn't he sow good seed?" Then they ask if they should rip out the weeds, but the householder tells them to leave the weeds alone, to let them grow. For to rip them out would damage the wheat as well, and that all will be sorted out at harvest time. It's not an easy parable, but that's not really what Jesus was known for. But it's a parable that does a couple of important things. First, in this parable, we are reminded that evil exists. We don't like to talk about it, but here it is, laid out plainly. As 21st century Christians, we don't find ourselves thinking or talking about evil in the same way our ancestors might have done. In earlier eras, there was a much more prevalent belief in embodied forms of evil and good. And discussions about events in the world and everyday life would have much more naturally turned to angels and demons and spirits, dueling powers of good and evil with humanity caught in the mix. When bad things happened, the demons were to blame. When humans did bad things, they were tempted or, in some cases, controlled by these evil forces. With the rise of humanism in the modern era, human reason replaced supernatural forces as the primary source of evil in discourse on the subject. Evil became a question of human free will in respect to our good inclinations and our evil inclinations. We choose to do evil things, or at least are not strong enough to resist them when the possibility arises. Of course, this understanding of evil did not address bad things that happened in the world independent of human action, and thus categories were created of natural evil, those bad things that just happen, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, and then moral evil, evil actions that individual humans choose to perform, such as theft or murder. Theological scholarship about evil, a field known as theodicy, took another major turn in the post-World War II era, when the depth of evil of which humanity was capable was laid bare. There was widespread consensus as to the evil of the perpetrators, and the invention of a new category of crimes against humanity at the Nuremberg trials. But the moral and legal conversations also spread to the actions of ordinary people whose passive participation made the atrocities of the Nazi regime possible, the so-called Mitläufer, or bystanders. Moral and theological questions beginning there with the Mitläufer continue into our times as to active and passive participation in evil structures of modern society. And the more we've come to unveil and recognize all of the forces of discrimination at work in our society, the more complicated the picture becomes. Racism, sexism, heterosexism, anti-Semitism, ableism, classism, how these isms and more intersect and the impact they have on people. What we are seeing come to light during this time of awakening, these last few months, are moral and theological examinations of not just those who actively and willfully perpetrate harm against other people, but even our passive participation in these kinds of societal evils. Even the once clear categories of natural and moral evil are starting to break down. When we see what might have been called natural evils of pandemic or natural disasters disproportionately devastating communities of color because of systemic evils at work in our society. We are at yet another reckoning point with evil in our world, one in which it is harder than ever to tell the difference between good and evil. Understanding more the harmful actions, impact of actions we thought were good or neutral, and then with evil masquerading as good in society. It is to these facts that Jesus' parable speaks with surprising clarity, perhaps now more than ever. First, there are the weeds. Those of you who were raised on the King James Version of the Bible will know this parable not as the parable of the wheat and the weeds, but the parable of the wheat and the tares. And the weeds known as tares were a plant called darnel, a common scourge to growers of wheat. What made darnel so particularly challenging is that it looked just like wheat during the early stages of growing. But if ingested, it would be poisonous. It's poison masquerading as nourishment, evil masquerading as good, something only too familiar in our world. What happens after the weeds grow is really important too. For the laborers go to the householder asking, "What did you do wrong? Didn't you plant good seed?" This struck me for two reasons. One is our tendency toward victim blaming. That's as old as time. Even the Old Testament book of Job has Job's friends asking him what he did wrong to deserve the tragedy that befell him. We still tend to think this way, wondering what poor choices people must have made in order for their lives to get to the position they're in. But it's also essential to note that when Jesus offers his interpretation of the parable, he names that the householder is the Son of Man. It's Jesus himself. And when the laborers are asking him why he allowed this to happen, it's an echo of the question that can't help but bubble up within us when bad things happen. Jesus, how could you allow this to happen? I've heard that question more than a few times recently. But Jesus/the householder's response is deeply instructive for those of us who find ourselves in such a time. A simple and clear response: an enemy has done this. Jesus has stated unequivocally that it is not God who causes evil things to happen in this world. This statement shuts down completely those well-meaning but ultimately harmful things that people tend to say when bad things happen, like everything happens for a reason or it's all part of God's plan. Jesus himself shuts down these kinds of responses, firmly stating that it was not he but an evil one who had planted the poison. The laborers want to know if they should go and rip the darnel out from among the wheat. But the householder says, "No, let them grow until harvest time, and it will be sorted out then." This advice is surprising, and I'll admit that upon first glance, it reads like when we confront evil in the world, we're not supposed to do anything and let God sort it all out in the end. But that's not the full picture, because there's a specific reason given why it's necessary to wait. If the weeds were pulled now, it would damage the wheat. It's too soon to tell just what is wheat and what are weeds. We aren't able to discern that fully. It's an acknowledgement of just how hard it can be at times to tell the good from the bad, and how we as humans don't have the best track record at this. We call good that which is evil. We treat as evil that which is good. We can't always tell the difference. Evil cloaks itself as good. We are taught to see evil things and people who truly are good, or could be good, if given the chance to grow and flourish. We are called through this parable to acknowledge where evil exists in this world, to recognize it, to name it, in ourselves, in our communities. This is work of humility, honest examination, repentance. This is truth-telling, and it's an essential first step. But this passage tells us that judgment, particularly of other people, is best left to God. As David Loos writes, we rarely know what motivates other people to speak and act as they do. And while we may oppose their words and actions, we cannot remove them from the power of God's redemptive love by taking judgment into our own hands. We are not the best judge of what is wheat and what is weeds. And Loos continues by explaining what happens when we let go of our need to judge. Trusting that God will redeem the world, he writes, frees us to take responsibility for caring for our little corner of it. You don't have to defeat evil and death. That's God's job. But you can care for your neighbor, speak out against injustice, support those in need right now, right where you find yourself. So often when the evils of this world feel overwhelming and we can't imagine how we could make a difference, the parables call to trust God's ultimate victory takes the weight of the world off our shoulders and encourages us to do what we can, to sharpen our powers of discernment between good and evil, not to allow ourselves to get caught up in all that is poisonous in this world, to look within, to work for the flourishing of all that is good, and to not lose heart. God's love is more powerful than anything the forces of evil have to offer. And we can work toward good and flourishing in this world, knowing that evil will not have the last word. That belongs to God. Amen.